Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 243, episode 4 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, June 30th, 2022. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Hey, Look at Google Flights. Whoa, I'm tired and I got a lot of dread. But I had some Mountain Dew about an hour ago, and it's gone straight to my head. Wherever I may roam, bonk, bonk, code red, voltage or gold, you can always hear me singing a song about, hey, look at Google Flights. Whoa, that is a pretty good impression of how my brain works from Mr. Lugubrious on Twitter, at Mr. Lugubrious. Just, you know, tired, constantly distracted by new stuff like, whoa, Google Flights, wow, Mountain Dew, yay. I am, you know, spiritually, mentally exhausted, and this is how it has manifested.
I love it.
Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host. You know him as the King of Sting, the Queen of Mean. Many DJs are on the ones and twos. He's on the ones and hey, fuck yous.
Oh.
It's Mr. DJ Daniel Goodman.
How have I never heard the ones and fuck yous before? That's very funny. That's very big muscle DJ energy.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Hello, yeah. It's your boy DJ Daniel, aka Big Cheese It Daniel. We're going to talk about that a little bit.
Very big Cheese It. Although, is it a big Cheese It, or is it just a bunch of Cheese It stuck together? Like, they just didn't break them up like they do with a normal sheet of Cheese It before
six,
going in the box.
Six of one, half dozen of the other. Something tells me that it really is just a bunch of big cheeses, but are we all not just a bunch of big cheeses stuck together? Come
on. That's true in the grand scheme of things.
Thank you, Daniel.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third and fourth seats by two of the most brilliant people doing it in podcasting and the audio arts. Among many other things, they're the hosts of the truly great award-winning podcast, The Stoop. It's Leela Day and Hanna Baba.
Hey.
What's up, y'all? How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're excited now that we're talking about Cheez-Its.
Yes. I know. Cheez-Its got me thinking about Cheetos, too. All of it.
Okay.
I've noticed a conspicuous lack of, like, we wanted to get you on to hear your take of on Cheez-Its. We feel like that, you know, that was the one glaring hole from all the stuff you've covered on The Stoop. It was like, come on, what's what are your thoughts on Cheez-Its, big ones?
Yeah. Anything with cheese is amazing to me. I love it. I love both of those, Cheez-Os and Cheez-Its.
Then it sounds like you're going to like Taco Bell's new creation. This is not sponsored content, by the way.
But it may as well be.
Come Taco on. Bell would, I think they would have a hard time sponsoring something where we kind of openly acknowledge that it is coming from a dark place, our obsession with Taco Bell. And, but they maybe not. Maybe about. They're just like,
we know what it is.
We come get on. It. Anyways, we are going to talk about that new Taco Bell creation. We're also going to talk about a story I have titled, Welp. It is based on the testimony on the January 6th commission that was pretty, I don't know, it seems to have changed some minds on the right. Didn't really change much, but it offered some texture, I guess, where we didn't have it before on Trump's behavior on that day. People are also mad that he like threw a plate of French fries at the wall, but I feel like that's just straight toxic male every president. So
just plays, just tracks.
Yeah. All of that, plenty more. But first, Leela and I, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Lord, I mean, I've been all over the place from cute hijabi summer outfits to how to help your cat during the fireworks of the 4th of July. But I think the biggest one has been around how to talk to your conservative parents about abortion.
Yeah.
Mm. We've been talking about this thing a lot. And, you know, a lot of us come from conservative families or like conservative immigrant families. And it's just like, and my parents were visiting recently. And so it's just like this three generational conversation about this stuff, right? Like my parents and mine and my teenage daughters who are growing up in this very America, right? And my and their grandparents who come from this other country, and all of this is new. It's been hard, folks, but it's a necessary conversation, and right. Google has been helping me a lot.
Yeah. What, can you give us a tip? Like one thing that you found worked well for you in that conversation?
Be calm and be patient, because these kinds of conversations can go left really fast, and you want to keep the respect. You want to keep the don't break your family while having these conversations. That's the biggest thing. It's like that, like the mental health sanity portion of this has helped a lot. Yep.
Yeah. All right. There was these talking points from a doctor during the early stages of COVID where the doctor was basically talking about how to speak to people who are like vaccine skeptics about vaccines, and the patience and not like unflappableness. It wasn't like a handful of talking points. It was like 30. It was like, here's how the conversation usually goes. And it was just unwavering kind of calmness and just sticking to the facts, which is, yes, we have the facts on our side, so it should be possible to stay calm for me. But the fact that we have the facts on our side and they don't see that with regards to any of this, including abortions and reproductive health, is very frustrating.
And it's hard when it's people you love, right? And this is happening not just in my immigrant family, but in kind of red, you know, blue, mixed purple families all over the country having these kinds of conversations. So just deep breaths and calmness and respect and patience.
How about you, Leela?
I think it's super interesting that Hana is talking about this Google search being it's a very serious and important topic. And my search has been a little bit different. I was just searching what it means when you have dreams that you're appearing in public and you're naked.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
That's a common, like, I feel like I've seen that so many times in movies. I don't know that I've ever.
You've never dreamt it?
I might have, I don't think I was fully naked, but like just dressed inappropriately, maybe like in my underwear. Yes. Although I could be having that thing where like you've seen something so many times on TV that you think it happened to you.
Yeah.
But go on. Yes.
So I have had this reoccurring dream. And me and Hana just did an episode about it on the stoop where we were talking about dreams. And I realized I've had this dream constantly about showing up in public with no clothes on. Now, I am terrified because I have no clothes on, but no one else notices that I have no clothes on, right, but me.
Huh. Yeah.
And so we actually talked to a dream therapist about this, and they said, like, it's a very common dream, and it means that you're afraid of being vulnerable, you're afraid of expressing yourself. But then other dream places, like other dream analysis folks in different parts of the world have totally different interpretations of it. Like in South Africa, they were saying it means like someone's doing some like bad magic on you and you need to watch out and that sort of thing. So I'm like fascinated about all these like cultural interpretations of the same dream, which mine is this being butt naked in front of everybody and like like during a presentation or something. And you know, it's like you forget to put your, you know, I don't know. Yeah. You might forget to put your socks on one day and be like, oh, I didn't wear my socks today with my shoes. Yeah. But no, it's like you didn't put on anything.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That happens to me, but with I go out and I forget my scarf. Which, you know, kind of is the equivalent, not the equivalent of being naked, but like there's an anxiety around look, right? Mm. Like there's something missing. What's going on? Oops, I don't have my shoes on. Oops, I don't have this on. I think a lot of people get that dream.
Yeah.
But the naked one is a special one, Leela.
Naked. Sun's out, buns out, summertime.
Yeah.
Have you ever had it and just been like, yeah, this is right. This is how I should be dressed because it's appropriate to our rapidly heating earth.
Well,
yeah. Analysis.
Yeah. I'm reading this book, The Dawn of Everything. Our listeners will make fun of me because I've been reading it for like 7 months, but they go back
take
and
your time.
Talk about it. Exactly. We're just working through it. Sometimes through it. I don't have the internal fortitude to be reading dense nonfiction and right. have to like go back to sci-fi or something like that. But they just had this section, or I just read the section where they talked about how the Hurons believed our souls have, I'm just going to read directly from the book, our souls have other desires which are, as it were, inborn and concealed. They believe that our soul makes these natural desires known by means of dreams, which are its language. Accordingly, then these desires are accomplished, it is satisfied. But on the contrary, if it is not being granted what it desires, it becomes angry and not only does not give its body the good and the happiness that it wished to procure for it, but often it also revolts against the body, causing various diseases and even death. And the author, David Graeber, and another person named David was like, this might just sound like somebody summarizing Freudian theory, but this was 250 years before Freud. And yeah, there's just, I'm going to stick in an underrated real quick here. Like all of the, you know, thinking and philosophy that existed in America before settlers and conquerors, like all the worst people came over from Europe and fucked everything up is pretty cool and wildly underrated. And
we talk about, I mean, this is starting to sound like a promo of that episode about dreams, but we talk about that a lot in this episode, this idea that take Freud with a grain of salt, people. We as African peoples and Black peoples, you know, have histories and a heritage of, you know, psychoanalysis, if we want to call it that. But like the dream interpretation, the traditional spiritual explanations of things that we live. Then the Freuds of the world came, right?
Right,
And now, you know, all the textbooks are about Freud's interpretation of dreams and his psychoanalysis. So that's interesting. Yes, definitely I can't say Freud is overrated. My husband is a psychiatrist. I will hear about this. But yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, right?
And the way they did the therapy was they would bring it in front of the entire community and talk about it. And everybody would decide, okay, this person needs like to follow this dream. And it's pretty cool. It seems like a, you know, rather than just like doing it in secret with a psychoanalyst, who are great and brilliant people. And I don't want to cause any drama. But
yeah, I could see that like totally benefiting from, I've never done like a group therapy session sort of thing. Yeah. I could totally see benefiting from not feeling like you're the only person going through that and hearing how other people would deal with it. So yeah, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do a little group therapy session.
Honestly,
I'm
definitely thinking I need it because I have some recurring dreams as well, but they're more about me being tickled and I can't do anything about it. And then I just wake up being like, okay.
Do you like being tickled in real life?
No, I do not.
Are you laughing when you're getting tickled in this dream?
I am not.
He doesn't like
it. Oh, man.
It is an invasion of the personal space.
I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and like they like to be tickled, but then they'll be like, stop, stop. And I'm always worried that they are going to wake up and like have these dreams where like a big like me is like looming over them, like tickling them. So I don't know. That's a good warning.
To protect you from that, it's usually some weird like mythical beast of my creation. It is not my father or my principal from high school.
Or is it?
Oh, God.
Hannah, before we started, you said you had an overrated that you were ready to let loose. So hit us with it. What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, I'm going to get dragged for this.
No.
So years ago, I'm a watcher of the Game Show Network.
Okay.
I love game shows. Yes. My whole family loves game shows. Yes. We love them. You know, we've gone to the Wheel of Fortune Live. We've gone to AGT Live. We just love it. There was a show called Lingo. There was a game called Lingo. And Lingo was two teams trying to guess what a 5-letter word was.
Right.
If you know, you know.
Huh.
And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So my thing that's overrated right now and really gets to me.
Don't do it to him.
I'm sorry, New York Times. Wordle.
My heart.
Wordle totally stole Lingo's idea. Yeah. I am standing by that. If you're a Lingo fan, you know that's my thing that I think is overrated. Well, is that really overrated? It's overrated. Yes.
It's overrated as like an original creation.
As like, maybe. It's stolen.
Mm.
And now people are like, Wordle, Wordle, Wordle. Where were you when Lingo was alive?
That's right.
You weren't on the Lingo train.
I was completely ignorant because I'm a big Wordle head.
I'm sorry.
But no, it's all right. Like I don't. I just do it as a guilty pleasure. My streak's at 164, so I'm feeling pretty good.
You've been going.
You not doing it, okay?
Yeah, I don't agree with it philosophically. I just like think it's like fun and like do it as a guilty
because
pleasure
it's Lingo.
Because exactly. It's Lingo, and I didn't even know. Now I have to go back and watch Lingo.
You have to watch Lingo.
Yeah,
I too was a new convert to Lingo, and seeing it after the fact, after Wordle, was like another. It was one of those things where it's like you learn about Wordle, it's like, oh, what's this? And you think it's so fresh and new. And then Lingo Hive comes up and says, now you all see what we've been loving for generations. And it's like, oh, man.
Is it the same mechanism where you guess by letter and they tell you like,
wow.
Exactly.
Yeah,
if the letter turns green, that means it is the correct letter in the right place. If it is yellow, it is a correct letter, but not in the right place.
Mm. Wow. The colors and everything.
Colors, Duke.
How about you, Leela? What is something you think is overrated?
Yeah, I mean, this is super controversial. And it's a big one. But I've been thinking about it a lot lately because people keep sending me all their damn TikToks, right? And I'm just realizing there was a point where I would go on like very specifically to find someone's, you know, take on something, right? Like, maybe it was skincare, or maybe it was, you know, a nice ab routine, which I would never do. But like, I would go on and I'd be like, oh, cool. But now it's just like, you know how on Facebook people post like, you know, mostly older folks, they post like the memes and they're just like, this is what it looks like when you're like, they don't really make sense and you're not really laughing and you're, it just feels like, I just feel like I'm getting inundated with like people sharing TikToks with me that I just don't care about. And I just feel... Everyone's everyone's talking about TikTok right now. I'm just feeling like I'm not getting anything from it right now. Like, I feel like there was a moment where I was really kind of digging it. And now I'm just like, this thing is fading. I don't know. I'm feeling like it's fading. I'm not really feeling it anymore. And I just feel like everyone's kind of, I feel like younger people are kind of fading out of it too. Like my nieces and stuff, they're kind of like TikToks for old people. I'm like, really? I just started getting into it. But yeah, I just feel like maybe
you're not on the Discord.
Mm. Yeah.
You need to chase them where they are. I have two teenage girls. Gosh. I know. Yeah, there's Discord.
Mm-hmm. Which you have to be invited.
Every time we're on something, the grown-ups, they go off. They go off.
That's another thing.
I just ain't feeling it anymore. I'm not into it.
I think if I may, I feel like we're in a place right now where every meme kind of just happens instantaneously. And like with so many people on TikTok, you just have this just deluge of content about literally everything. Mm-hmm. And since we've kind of decided on a one place that should exist, which is TikTok, it's like everything just happens all at once. It's like every joke, every response to the joke, every skincare routine, every actually use this product instead, every version of that happens just instantaneously. And it's like the second you laugh at something, you're actually laughing at the old version of the thing now. And it's like, how do I possibly keep up?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And which one is right? And which one is wrong?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
You won't get dragged, Leela.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
We're here with you.
Good.
I'm also just hearing about TikTok, is it? Is that what you're calling? No,
is it called the tickety tock tock? That sounds new.
I've managed to stay off of it because for similar reasons that I've tried to stay off of away from video games because the times when I have done it, I experience a strange existential thing where I look over and an hour has passed and I didn't know it felt like 5 minutes. And I feel like the seamlessness of TikTok, I think the scariest part of social media is that it takes away our free will. It's just finding seamless, kind of subtle ways to take away our free will and use suggestion to market to us and change our behavior. And TikTok seems like the most seamless. Now, I don't think they've fully given over to the marketers quite yet, or the marketing geniuses haven't quite fully figured it out yet, but it's coming. And when it does, it'll be the most dangerous, it feels like, to because you are just in the tunnel having content poured into you.
Yeah.
A record clip.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what's underrated, and we'll talk about the Cassidy Hutchinson testimony.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And we are back. And last thing in the getting to know you section, we do like to ask our guests, what is something you think is underrated? And I do, and I don't want to jinx this, like somebody going up to a pitcher heading into the ninth inning of a perfect game and being like, hey man, good pitching out there, don't blow up. But you guys are nailing your search history, overrated, underrated so far. So top, I just shelf. Wanted to let you know. Yes. And then no pressure, but what is something you think is underrated?
Peanuts.
Yes.
Peanuts.
Yes.
Yes.
It's all about the walnut and the pecan and the cashew. And for me, peanuts are totally underrated. They're the best nut. They go into many things that it just, I don't know if it's because of where I'm from, but I think peanuts, you know, are just shunned a lot. And the poor peanut has become just disenfranchised and not appreciated. So I feel like peanuts, I had others, cucumbers and Jack Black. But peanuts to me are underappreciated and they need to make a comeback.
Do you have a favorite kind of peanut?
Like preparation?
A favorite kind of peanut.
Preparation? Yeah, like a honey roasted, a salted, unsalted, very pure peanut.
Just your basic peanut salted. Mm. I put it in baklava.
Oh.
And it's great. Just a totally different taste. Mm. Peanut butter. I love peanut butter. Don't give me the almond butter.
So much.
Don't give me no almond butter, walnut butter, whatever other butter they have.
Peanut butter all
like,
day.
Hey, have you ever wondered like what peanut butter would be like if it was worse? Well, here's almond butter. I'd say like 30% of my calories over the course of the past 3 years have been peanut based. Just because it's so easy. You just spread like it's a source of protein. It's a source of deliciousness.
It's the underdog of peanuts, and it is the best tasting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, have you ever had a peanut cucumber Jack Black salad?
Oh,
so good.
Wow. Taking it to the next level.
Delicious.
Well, what is something Black. You think is underrated?
Okay. I was thinking about this. I think wrinkles are underrated.
Mm.
Like, goals. You know, I feel like, wouldn't it be nice if you would look at someone with some really nice smile lines and say, that person has lived a happy and joyous life. Or someone with crow's feet and you'd say, you know, that dude, yeah, he's really an observer. I can see like the way the crow's feet form that he's been looking and not look at wrinkles is something that we need to get rid of, that we need to hide, that we need to inject with some Botox, but something that we say like that person, you could read their life story and their wrinkles and like celebrate them because I'm watching like all this. I was watching some TikToks on plastic surgery and I'm just like, wow, people go to the limits of trying to like erase life from their face.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice if like, I mean, this is a whole another conversation about like ageism and yeah, ageism and how we treat older people or whatever. But like, instead of like discarding people, what if we like celebrated them? And what if we started celebrating them by like celebrating what we can visually see as like signs of aging? So
question is, those TikToks, did you end up like looking at the Botox TikTok?
Oh, there's some great little regimes in there for getting in some wine. I gotta tell you. A little something here, a little something there, and they're gone.
It's a struggle. It's like a clash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fill but, my you know. Face, make it look seamless like a Ken doll. I just want, smooth everywhere. No, I fully agree. The way it came up for me recently was the new Top Gun movie has a moment. Very strange, where they open before the movie starts, Tom Cruise just addresses the camera and is like, hey, I'm Tom Cruise. This is a movie I'm in. It's weird, but like they're just like, people like Tom Cruise. Let's you know, front load that. But the movie was made 3 years ago. Like it was made before like 2 years ago. It was made before the pandemic, basically. And he has aged since then, and he has let himself age. Like he has like Robert Redford, early Robert Redford face. And I was like, yeah, like, yes, Tom Cruise, like that is not what I would have expected from Tom Cruise. And I do. There are many things I don't appreciate about Tom Cruise. This is one of them, because it feels like a, you know, embracing of one's humanity in a way that I haven't seen a lot of from him. But
I'm stuck on the fact that there's an opening of Top Gun where he says, hey, I'm Tom Cruise and I'm in this movie.
Yeah.
Why? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
What's that about?
He's like, and we flew real planes. You know how his whole thing is like, I did the real stunts.
Yeah.
Like that should matter to you. Well, it's so important to him that he is now starting his movies off being like, I flew a real plane. It was sick. We were really up there.
Tom Cruise is not popular in my household. Again, why? My husband is a psychiatrist.
Right. That would be one of the reasons I think he's...
Totally tracks.
He's trash. Yeah, Scientology.
No good.
Not work in our household either.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Nicole Kidman, maybe.
Yeah. Although someone who has gone the opposite direction, I do feel like.
She's gone the TikTok
version. The TikTok. She's on the TikTok filler.
Yeah, she sure is. Trend. She is.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And also somebody who now is before every one of our movies addressing us and being like, movies are good, right? We like movies.
Heartbreak feels good. Have you seen those,
the Nicole Kidman? We had a recent screening with like the LA iHeart podcast team. And we had the theater to ourselves. It was very fun. And the one kind of group chant that started was before the Nicole Kidman ad, when you first see her high heel step into that puddle. Everyone was like, Nicole, Nicole. It's really, I think the world can all agree. Yes. Nicole
that gets
Kidman,
you,
yes.
That
yes,
gets you revved up for titles. A movie.
That does. It's so funny that the movies are Creed 2. Jurassic World. It's like, you know, the cinematic classics.
The classics.
But, all right. Let's talk about Welp. So, the January 6th hearings have been, you know, we cover the news. We were recording as January 6th was unfolding, recording every weekday thereafter. And we've been pretty on top of what, you know, what actually happened that day. And so a lot of what we had heard to this point felt like stuff that we knew about. This one felt different. People like Fox News didn't really seem to know what to do with themselves. There was a moment where they start out, they're like, well, where's Jim Jordan? Why aren't there more people? Like, they're pushing back. And then I guess they remember, he refused to be a part of this. And then, but then there's, he's like, but yeah, this was really bad for the president. And there's three Fox News anchors up on camera and there's just dead air for like 5 seconds because they like don't know what to say. And then they're like, yeah, so any thoughts? And then the other person's like, no, we just like, what do we really know? There's all sorts of conservative outlets that are now mad. like the Washington Examiner. This is going to be the first time we do a Washington Examiner quote on this podcast. But
say
they
that's
had
a fresh one.
Yeah, they had an editorial that was like, this person is no longer fit to ever hold public office. And I don't know, what was you guys' experience of this hearing? Does it change anything for you? Does it feel like it changed things for others?
We don't watch Fox News, but this was a time when me and my husband really wanted to watch Fox News.
I just turn it on to see what's happening.
Just to see what's going on. And, you know, same. We have our popcorn in our hands. And it's just like, it's the one time we wanted to watch it. And we saw this moment as it happened. And so, you know, it felt real and surreal. It felt just, they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're being caught. They're flailing. And then we turned the channel. Like, that was enough for us to just to understand that this is shaking them up. This is shaking up conservative America. This is shaking up the Republican Party right now. It's shaking up Trump and his family. And I think, you know, just like that's something that a lot of us have been wanting for a long time. My, you know, it's been interesting watching these hearings too, because we lived, you know, people go back and remember that day, January 6th, and it was like out of this world. It was like a film, like a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, is this really happening? Especially, you know, in our, I don't know, I can't talk for everybody, but like in my family, we were sitting there like watching just incredulously and really wondering if anything is going to happen to these people. Like, will these people that we're watching on our screen right now storm the Capitol building? Will anything really happen to them? Will they really be held accountable? Will they hold accountable the people who stormed the Capitol, but not the folks who pushed them to do it, or wink, wink, hint, hint, made them do it? You know, just like all of these doubts about the American justice system, about just justice overall.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, our thoughts were probably nothing's going to happen to these people, or they'll find a way out, or someone will find them, you know, an excuse. And what if these were Black and brown people?
Right.
What would have happened to them almost immediately after this? So, you know, I follow these hearings half-heartedly with a grain of salt, not really hoping for a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not expecting a lot from them.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel similarly. I actually do watch other news outlets. Like, I watch Fox News. I watch other outlets just to see how they're covering these sorts of things. I do feel that there was nothing that made me think, oh, this is the moment where there's going to be a big reveal. Because I feel like there's been so many moments throughout his presidency where so many things were revealed and people turned a blind eye to it, that I don't really see this information as very explicit and very detailed as it was about, you know, his reactions and some of the things he said. I don't see people actually using this as any sort of deterrent to like not support him or to even, you know, go against him. Like, I just feel like we've seen this time and time again that people would express erratic behavior. They would express being fearful of speaking with him or engaging with him. And still, there wasn't a lot of movement. I was reading this morning that, you know, there was the testimony that Cassidy Hutchinson said that, you know, he tried to grab the wheel, you know, while they were going to the Capitol. And the Secret Service agents are now reportedly about to testify that he didn't actually try to grab the wheel and guide the car back to the Capitol. So it's just like,
it's a shame.
This can go on and on, the back and forth about it. And I just feel like people that truly support Donald Trump will continue to truly support him regardless of this testimony. So that's
And there might be these little, you know, these little bursts of, ooh, they got him. Ooh, this thing. Ooh, that thing. But like, now we know not to get too excited.
Yeah.
Right.
About what this will mean in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. And I struggle with like whether that means that we're just like people talked a lot during the early days of his presidency about the Overton window, like that idea that, you know, the more outrageous his behavior, the more it like sort of normalized it. And therefore we're and I, you know, I don't know that there's any like my outrage is not changing how his followers feel about him. So it really is about like us getting together and organizing at some level, as difficult as that is in America. But I think so. The thing that is like kind of like sticking out to me is that the rage thing, him throwing his lunch against the wall, is feels like it's getting lumped in. Like the headline on Drudge, which is the main like sort of right wing media thing that I kind of check, because I feel like Fox News and all those places, well, first of all, it's just like a huge amount of people go there. It's just one page with like various links and headlines, and a lot of people go there. And like the headline on Drudge was like, the Don's rage, broken dishes, flipped tablecloths. And it's like, that feels like the least noteworthy like revelation from yesterday. The revelations seemed to, or from 2 days ago, the revelations seemed to be that he wanted. And yes, they're going to try and say that he never like reached for the steering wheel. I don't know how credible that is. I do know that she, as you mentioned, was like detailed, seemed credible, was like got to the position she was in all these rooms because she was a conservative Trumpist, true believer, to quote the Washington Examiner. So like that's, they were like, yeah, she's like kind of indisputable on this.
Mm-hmm.
But the detail of him being like, I want to go, the detail of him saying, like, take the weapon scanners away, like he trying to get them to let the people who are coming to his speech and about to raid the Capitol have weapons, feels like there are a couple of moments that she covered that feel like, oh, so this is a new detail where he was actively trying to make it so that more people would die in this, like more people, like that they would have a more credible chance of having like a armed insurrection. And yeah, so it was the let my people in, they can march to the Capitol from here, let the people in, take the mags away, the mags being the weapon scanners. I don't fucking care that they have weapons, they're not here to hurt me. That's one. That's it. That feels big to me, like just from, I guess, more history books than what his followers are going to think. The president reached up toward the front of the vehicle to grab the steering wheel. Mr. Engel from the Secret Service grabbed his arm. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge toward Bobby Engel and apparently for his neck. Like that feels like a big one. He was trying to go and be with the crowd as they were storming. And then the part like after the fact, him like, and this one feels almost like too, it feels like bad exposition in a movie. Because so Meadows and Cipollone met with the president and then they come out and Cipollone is like, well, we should do more to get this attack on the Capitol like scaled back or like to stop the attack on the Capitol. And Meadows said, you heard him, Pat. He thinks Mike deserves it, which like that is bad ham-fisted like exposition. But it, I mean, again, people are like, but she was there and she knew. So like those three details of him like having, it's not just like him being angry and rageful and unprofessional. It's him being part of a professional attempt to overthrow the government with weapons is the things that like I feel like are new details that will be in history books. I just don't know if they're going to matter or like get him arrested, right?
Will they?
Right.
Will yeah. they? Who, right. Who's going to be writing the history books right
now? That's a
now?
Good point.
With all that's going on with the textbooks and the history books. That's another episode.
Yeah. That's a very good point. They will be in his history books from other countries for sure.
Yes.
Maybe not in the United States.
Yeah, it just seems like there there is a lot of evidence right now that we're hearing that seems very damning, right? And could shift how, you know, the outcome of him trying to run for president again or whatever, you know, his motives are. Again, I just feel like I know some avid Trump supporters and these details just don't even faze them. It's just fascinating. Like that, it doesn't even faze them. It doesn't make them see him in any different light.
Because what, Leela? Like, I'm trying to understand. Like, ever since grab them by the pee, you know, it's been thing after thing after thing after thing. What do people who support him say? Like, it doesn't matter, or oh, he's just kidding. All boys will be boys. All of the above. I still don't get it. And I don't think I'm ever going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, they do say all of the above. They say that the media has misrepresented him, twisted media, fake media. You know, there's just a lot of conversation around you can present all the facts, you can present all this information. And the end, it's just, it's like having a discussion that is, it doesn't even go anywhere in many cases. Which I've found. I think I look at this, I feel like very like personal about it because I have had so many family members, not so many, but I do know quite a few people. I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. So I have some high school friends and people that I grew up with that we've had some pretty heated discussions about it. And there seems to be no solution. There seems to be no understanding of each other. And we just agree to disagree and move on. So that's what I'm thinking.
I'm from Sudan in East Africa, and we have a dictator. And a lot of people love the dictator, right? Like there's like this idea of the strong man who's going to take care of all of us. It doesn't matter what he does, but he's, you know, there's the respect and he has this military uniform. So therefore, part of it is fear of what can happen if this person does not win, like what kind of chaos will be unleashed on us. But there's definitely, I've heard this before somewhere, but just not in the US. And I think that's what a lot of like immigrant families are just like shocked by. Like we come from these countries where this is the norm and we've never imagined this would be the case here in the US, that there would be somebody like a Trump. And that the worst thing, that people will actually vote for this man and support him and defend him. It just sounds so, it's just, I don't know. We didn't believe this would happen here.
Right.
And it's shocking.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of people for whom like these details make them like happy and make them feel like he is doing what we hoped he would do in this situation. You know, a lot of Trump supporters, I do just wonder about any Republicans, like mainstream Republicans who are still left on his side. If this, like, it seems like it did for this Cassidy Hutchinson person, like who went in as a loyal Trumpist and then saw this behavior and was like, ugh.
Right.
Like, you know, it, in terms of his electoral fortunes and in terms of like the future of the Republican Party, like anything that can be done to make that worse, like I'm happy for. And I do feel like in some ways this has to have like been bad for any future plans they had, because I think in one case, like it's going to be hard for them to make a legitimate claim that like, he's still all right in our book. And on the other hand, there's absolutely no way he's not going to run just because people told him not to. And right. So maybe you're going to have two Republican candidates.
Is Ivanka not running?
I mean, we'll see. Mm-hmm.
I think honestly, it also feels like a overall kind of American dreadful lack of awareness of history and world history for that matter, whether it's like an education problem or a head in the sand problem. Like I really think Republicans do count on, or I mean, most candidates, both sides counting on the fact that everybody is so living in the moment and kind of, you know, in the interest of moving forward, that we never, ever look back at anything that has happened before and pay attention to the faults or previous encounters of any president we've had. It's like there's no kind of picking up the pieces of history that have led to where we are now and saying, let's not make these mistakes again. And I think the GOP kind of counts on that and says, we can just keep running it because they're not paying attention and it's just going to keep happening. And whether that's a conscious decision or just like a facet of the same kind of problem of just a lack of awareness of history, I guess kind of remains to be seen. But it just feels so strongly like there's no learning moving forward. There's just kind of repeating the same thing over and over, and those repeated phrases getting more and more extreme.
Hence the battle over textbooks. A lot of them don't want you to know the truth of how history actually went.
Bingo.
Well, because I don't have a great way to transition from that to the words big Cheez-It tostada, we're going to take a quick break and then we will be right back.
I mean, big Cheez-It?
Big Cheez-It tostada.
Cheez-It.
Same color.
Orange.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. But, see, this is why I shouldn't be the host of this show.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And we're back. And Daniel, I'm just going to throw it over to you because you put this on my radar.
Indeed.
I'm ashamed to say I wasn't up on this.
This is one of those things where I like to text the group chat beforehand and say, did you guys already talk about this? And when Jack says no, my eyes just light up. So as a little bit of context for, I mean, I imagine most of the listeners know, but for our wonderful guests today, we are just woefully obsessed with fast food and all of the many facets and its moves in terms of offering just completely off the wall dishes to the people of the world. And anytime one of these pops up, we all hit each other and say, okay, who's eating it first? And this was another one, four words, two hyphenated, big Cheez-It tostada. I saw that and I went, ooh, baby, we're lighting up the group chat today. So yes, that's right, gang. Taco Bell is going off once again with this enormous Cheez-It stuffed into a Crunchwrap Supreme, the only Supreme thing, anything as far as I'm concerned, and at the base of a tostada. And it's the next thing I'm trying this weekend when I'm making bad decisions. And I'm very excited about it.
So you are you referring to Supreme Pizza or Supreme...
Supreme Pizza. I don't like Supreme Pizza. Too many peppers. But
brand Supreme.
Exactly. So
has the Supreme Court ruined the? I think it was. Has the Supreme Court ruined the word Supreme for?
Yes, we can no longer use that word.
Yeah, we need to. Supreme needs to change his name.
They do.
Okay, so the Crunchwrap Supreme, for people who don't know, is the. It looks like a disc with a soft tortilla wrapped around it. Mm. Inside is. Mm. All of the ingredients that Taco Bell offers, yep. I think.
Mm-hmm.
The beef.
The seasoned beef, lettuce, tomatoes, cheese. One of the dressings, cheese. Mm-hmm. And then a crispy tortilla in the middle, traditionally a crispy tortilla, but replaced with this delicious, enormous, cheesy monstrosity that is the big Cheez-It.
Mm.
So it's a whole cheese, it's a Cheez-It, but it covers the whole sandwich or whatever it is.
You're good. It's just like a big circular wrap, and then in the middle, kind of separating the meat from the cold ingredients, which that's just a revelation in general. Like, you know, you're not mixed, you know, you don't have to worry about like the meat making the lemon or the lettuce and the tomato too wilty. You have this nice barrier in between, so you get that bite and everything stays fresh. Ooh, amazing. And they just replaced that genius barrier with a giant Cheez-It.
Oh my
and
God.
I can hear people's stomachs just sing in an angel's chorus. It is a gift unto us that has been bestowed by this enormous conglomeration that is inevitably giving
cheese?
All of us problems. Where is the cheese?
Where's the melted cheese?
Underneath.
Under the Cheez-It?
Under the Cheez-It with the meat. It appears that there is melty cheese.
You are absolutely right about that. Yes, you have those little bits of cheese just sneaking through the meat there. Mm. Of course, every wonderful good thing comes with an unfortunate catch. And that is the fact that...
This will kill you.
Well,
he will eat this until you are dead.
That is catch number A. But catch letter B is the fact that for all of our friends outside the state of California, this delicious treat is only available at one single Taco Bell location near the headquarters in Irvine, California. Now, for some people, they're turning off the podcast and say, God, how could you tease me with such delicious information? But I know at least three or four friend groups that are planning their pilgrimages as we speak, saying, dang, get the minivan. We're getting in the car this weekend and we're going to Irvine.
That's such an LA adventure.
Completely. Just like when Raising Cane's opened in Burbank and all of us who were too lazy to go down to Englewood or were not even close enough to the one in Alhambra decided to finally get a taste of that delicious chicken over in Burbank.
I have a daughter in college and she is at UC Irvine.
Oh, wow.
We will be going down and moving her in and visiting every weekend now just to try.
A blessing.
I did not know the Taco Bell headquarters was in Irvine. Huh.
There you go.
Now you know.
Now you know. I haven't gone to Taco Bell in such a long time, but Cheez-It will make me go.
You know, just take that opportunity. Take that opportunity. Say, you know what? They're doing something fun and different. I'm going to give it another shot.
I love Cheez-Its.
They're great.
They're amazing.
Okay, real quick. In your personal opinion, did extra toasty Cheez-Its... Is that overdoing
it? No.
Not your bag. Okay,
no,
noted.
Just the plain, old school, maybe the white cheddar one.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Maybe the white cheddar.
They're so good.
Now, extra toasty is, for people who aren't familiar, is like burnt Cheez-Its. Yeah. They were like, hey, people like these burnt Cheez-Its. This is the first time that I've thought that maybe you might need a burnt Cheez-It, because my one concern with this is that it gets a little soggy. Like the way that a cracker reacts to soup. Like sometimes, which I still like, but I prefer a crouton because it retains a crunch a little bit. Whereas a cracker, like if I throw Cheez-Its, although I think I have thrown Cheez-Its in soup and they hold up pretty well. Mm-hmm. So we might be okay. I might have just talked my way out of that one.
I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I appreciate
they would have done this to us.
No, I mean like that nice buttery Cheez-It, it can find a way to kind of crumble in your hands or melt in your mouth as it does. It's so delicious. But I think there's a thickness quotient here that Taco Bell has taken into account when considering it for the structural backbone of one of their most popular items.
Do we know why it's just at that one restaurant? Like, are they testing it out to see if they're going to mass produce it?
You know, that's a good question. Something tells me that it being near the HQ is like the testing grounds. The test kitchen is at the headquarters. And let me tell you from personal experience, you cannot simply just go to the headquarters and ask to see the test kitchen. They will kick you out of the building. And
they have better security than the Capitol building.
Significantly.
Yeah,
the person at the front was not having it. I think it must be. It has to be a radius to the headquarters thing where they're just like, yeah, just throw it out there. And honestly, it's succeeding. They're getting the clicks. They're getting the talks right now from fools like me who are going to see this and be like, gang, guess what? The coolest thing ever just happened. Because I'm constantly starved of good news these days and I take it where I can get it.
Cheez-Its. Exactly.
Cheez-Its.
It's being described as an abundantly cheesy and nostalgic, yet magically modern dining experience.
How is it nostalgic if it's new?
I think Cheez-Its, like for people who grew up on Cheez-Its, like that might be. But I was going to ask how it's modern, because Taco Bell is not breaking any new ground here. They're
still around.
They're recombined.
Lila has no idea. She doesn't do the junk.
Oh,
like I do.
Good for you.
When is there going to be like a French fast food restaurant?
Oh
where
my
we can
God.
Get some moule frites. The drive-through, we can get just a little bit of
okay, bougie,
but yeah, a little bougie. I'm a little bougie, yeah. No, but we used to do like the Taco Bell used to have like the 59-cent tacos. Remember that, like back in the day?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you would get like six of them.
Oh yeah, get the box, little thingy, bring it to a party. Nobody's mad at that.
T-Bell
party. Why is it sounding like a Fergie song? Doesn't Fergie have a song where she starts off like, "I was at the Taco Bell when I was little."
That sounds like a horrible song.
No, I swear. There is a Fergie song where she starts off, "It's like, and in the town,
no, that's
champagne, living the life in the fast lane."
Thank you, Justin. You nailed
I'm
it.
Not
Glamorous.
Crazy.
Glamorous by Fergie. I still go to Taco Bell, drive through, raw as hell. I don't care. I'm still real, no matter how many records I sell.
Yeah.
Fergie's for the people.
I thought that was Jack Harlow.
He sampled Glamorous for his song.
I need to watch
Justin
TikTok.
To
I don't
the
know
rescue.
What's going on.
Yeah, you're
Justin
all good.
Justin to the rescue.
Thank you, Justin. It's also
still
a shout out
to the Taco Bell drive thru raw as hell.
Yep. And shout out to longtime TDZ regular Christy Yamaguchi Main for iterating the same kind of idea with their now extremely viral tweet about. You'll go to Taco Bell at midnight and still find a like Mercedes, you know, CL35 AMG right in front of four people piled on top of a Vespa, right in front of like a broken down car with somebody in it. Everybody's eating Taco Bell.
Yeah. If you haven't tried to go through a Taco Bell drive through on foot and been turned away, then I don't know what to tell you.
For the record, to them, on a bike is the same as on foot. Yeah. Even though I'm like, I'm in a vehicle. Yeah. They're like, no, you're not.
Oh, they won't let you? I only tried it walking because I didn't have a bike. I was way too drunk at 3 a.m. before bikes were like before city bikes
before bikes were invented.
Yeah, before bikes these bicycles, yeah. These no, newfangled that. Bicycles. Mm-hmm. I was on a penny farthing and I was too drunk to stay up top.
What does it say about your podcast that we stayed on this longer than the January 6th hearings?
It says that we have a good show.
Yay.
It says that we cover all the different angles of our societal decline. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think
yes,
both the soft cultural and the political. Well,
good answer,
Leela Hanna. It's been truly a pleasure having you on TDZ. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can hear us on all podcast platforms. The Stoop Podcast, stories about the Black diaspora. And yeah, we're going into our 8th season. You can also find us on Twitter at The Stoop Podcast and on Instagram, the same handle.
It's so good. Everybody needs to go listen. Is there a tweet or some work of social media that you've been enjoying?
I've been enjoying these. Mark Lamont Hill is a Black journalist, and I love his feed because it gives you a mix of news and nonsense. And we need both, right, at the same time. So there's this thread that I've been following on Instagram, though, not on Twitter. And it's Black Music Month. So he's been posting these like, what's a song everybody else loves that you hate? Or like, what's a song that you can't get out of your head, like that? And then people would reply. So this is the one I love from day 11 of Black Music Month. A song everybody else hates. I'm sorry. A song everybody else loves that you hate.
Oh.
And it's hilarious because, you know, people would put a song up like, This Is How We Do It by Montel Jordan. And then like, they'd get 110 likes and like replies. They're just like, you know, how can you not like that song? Da, da, da. But it's just therapeutic because I found a couple of the songs on here, like Return of the Mac. Everybody loves it. I don't like it too much.
There you
and
go.
And this is the thread where you can just let it go and not be judged.
Wow.
I like that. That's good. We need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I got a tweet that I've been sending to some peeps because it's kind of resonating with me right now. And it's from, I don't know who this is, but she calls herself Divine. And she just says, stop being the one who makes all the effort. Sit back and let the ship sink.
Whoa.
And I know. But I thought about this because I have so many people in my life, when something goes wrong, they're just always trying to fix it. If something goes wrong at work, they're like, I have the solution. This is what we need to do. I can save this. I can save this project. Da, da, da. And sometimes you're the only person doing that. And no, everyone else has just kind of got their heads down, doing their thing. And I've been thinking about this a lot because we do stories about the Black diaspora. And I've been thinking about, as Black people, how it's kind of ingrained in us to fix things, whether it's our parents saying, like, we need equal, you need to stand up for yourself. I feel like it's ingrained in my parents about, like, civil rights and just sticking up for the underdog. And I've always done that. But I think that sometimes we tend to carry that over into circumstances when we don't always need to be that person and carry that weight. And sometimes other people need to carry the weight for you, and you can let them know that I've carried enough, and maybe it's your time to step up. So I've been sharing that with a few people that I know have always been stepping up and always put the weight on their backs, that sometimes it's okay to step back.
That's a great message. Daniel, where can people find you, follow you? Is there a work of social media you've been enjoying?
You can find me on all the social medias and whatnots at DJ_Daniel. You can find me on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I don't know. I don't post frequently enough for my TikTok to be popping or anything like that. But if you want to watch some old video game clips, oh, they're there. And my work of social media is, as you can imagine, Big Cheez-It related. So CNN posted about the Big Cheez-It, and then someone replied, looks really gross, what we call food in America, geez. And the response to that was, it's called culinary experimentation, and it's the mark of strong culture. And I couldn't agree with that more. Thank you. That was from at Joe Clever, at @JO_Clever_KE. That's very funny. Good job. But yeah, that's my piece of social media that I'm liking, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. I've been enjoying shirts that go hard.
Shirts that go hard is great.
A Twitter. Twitter handle called Shirts That Go Hard. Mm-hmm. The one they have pinned is a shirt that says Morbius, and it has a drawing of Morbius with like a crystal ball in front of him, and then Orb is like in a different color in his name. There's one that says, "I'm not a player, I'm a gamer. Players get chicks, I get bullied at school." And they're just like great old shirts that they dug up somewhere, and I enjoy it. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Dan will hit us with a music recommendation.
I got you from an artist who I discovered during the pandemic, did an awesome live set, who I actually recommended that live set before. Swarty just released a new album called Compact Objects with a animation that goes with it, but the song is called Cold Math by Swarty. You can listen to it on Spotify. Amazing tune. The whole album Compact Objects is just really enjoyable, happy music, and I recommend it to literally everyone. It isn't you gotta be a fan of XYZ.
Sure.
Everybody can enjoy this. So I recommend Cold Man by Sport.
All right. We'll go check that out in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is gonna do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.